couple other great student sections that people have mentioned. Waverly, that's a good one. They were one that I do remember from last year.
Okay.
And Papillion, where was that one at? Papillion Lives the South. I believe that was it.
Hmm.
I think that was it.
Good student sections.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, Papillon South. One guy that's just great at everything he does. Always brings it tons of energy every day, 24-7, 365. The one and only Mike J. Schaefer. Schaefer, what is up?
How are we doing?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I am doing well. Tired of Joe Burrow, Nebraska revisionist history. so if we can avoid that conversation. I just want to say this. Like, he's having an incredible season. He's going to be the Heisman for LSU. They have the opportunity to win the national championship. Why are we still talking about Nebraska and Joe Burrow and then neglecting the fact that Nebraska's previous staff and Bo Pelini and Tim Beck passed on him for Kevin Dillman, who went on to be a defensive lineman for North Texas? Mike Riley and his staff offered him the opportunity at Nebraska, and he turned it down to go to Ohio State. Like, why are we conveniently ignoring all of that in favor of this, you know, 2018 situation where Nebraska has its hand-picked quarterback in Adrian Martinez, and they decide to go with the guy for 4 years over two?
Hold on, I gotta get rid of about 7 pages of Joe Burrow questions I had for you. Just let me get to the 8th page of questions that I have for you. Shave, I'm excited, and I don't know about you, but just to watch the college football playoffs. Like, I think the storylines all right themselves. There's everything everywhere. You got one of those two first games over the other that you're more excited to watch?
I think they're both going to be interesting games. I mean, the other thing of all of this to me is I'm a little surprised Ohio State's not the one seed, given that they gave up 123 less points than LSU and score more points per game than LSU. Didn't play a single game within 10 points this year. And their bad win on Saturday night was a 13-point win over Wisconsin, who they were playing a second time. So it's weird that they're not the number one, but that Ohio State-Clemson game is going to be, you know, fascinating. Justin Fields gets a little time to get healthy. Clemson feels disrespected because they went undefeated and, you know, no one seems to care, but they also played in the ACC, which everybody recognizes is not very good. And then you have Oklahoma and Jalen Hurts, who have the kind of offense that I think could really turn that game with LSU into a shootout. But they also have this penchant for self-inflicted wounds that I think is going to hurt them when they play LSU as well. Both of those games, I mean, this is someone else tweeted this, so I can't take credit for it. But if you look at the college football playoff era, this might be the most interesting group of four that I can think of. I think you can make a case for everybody to win it.
Mm-hmm. You can make a strong... Well, Oklahoma, you'd have to work the hardest to get to believe that. But everybody else, the story, yeah, it's there that anybody could win it.
Yeah, Oklahoma definitely is the long shot. But that offense, I mean, and they're not new to this situation. So they played in these games before. They're not going to be... The moment isn't going to be too big for it. LSU has not.
No, that's true. That's very true. I probably put too much into leadership. Like, I think Joe Burrow, the leader, is more than Joe Burrow, the player, even with his 45-plus touchdowns and SEC record for the season.
Well, and I mean, that coaching staff up and down at LSU, at Orgeron's done a nice job putting together a group of guys that, you know, the moment won't be too big for them. I just mean, like, it's a little bit different for Ohio State and Oklahoma and Clemson going into this situation than it is for LSU, because they've got maybe a little bit more experience. So it's been a couple years for Ohio State too.
Yeah, that's one of those. I'm excited for just what I'm, and I'm setting myself up for failure, much as you and I have talked about in our gambling worlds. I set myself up to lose, but it just, to me, it's going to be, I think, just a kick ass, and I know it's a ways away, but a kick ass weekend of football, like just to watch the games. Like, if they live up to billing, could be one of the greatest days of football that you've seen.
You know, what day is that going down again? I don't even have the date.
That's all right. I'll have to look it up, but it doesn't matter. I'm just excited. I think everybody, like, I was talking to folks that night, and they're all complaining, like, oh, well, they made it easy on the committee, and this team won, and that team won. I'm like, great. That just means the cream rose. Like, what we perceived as the season goes on, was to be the best. This is what the best is. Bama ain't there, and Georgia ain't there. LSU is in, Clemson is in, OU is in, and Ohio State's in. Let's do this. Like, let's figure this out. So I'm excited to just watch it, and it can't get here fast enough for me, even though it will seem like forever and a day.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the hard part with this, and I wonder, I mean, you've been a part of it too. How hard is it as a player when you know you're going to go into one of those kinds of games and you have that long of a break? I mean, you don't have anything like that the rest of your season. You get the bye week, but you don't have anything where you go 3 weeks without playing a football game.
Coach Osborne and staff did a fantastic job, and it would have been my freshman year of changing that prep week, because it used to be just go, and we'll run, you know, we'll go stuff. It got back down. I mean, you could. It's almost like a reset week. We do it at Scott. You got the 11 days off or 10 days off, whichever one it is. Our first 2-3 days, we go back to literally like day one stuff of this is your stance. Get in your stance. Take your first step. Do these things. Like, so it's a great reset. And when you do that, then you get it back to just, okay, Sunday is our Monday, and away you go from there. So it's a nice, you get guys healthy that may be a little banged up. It's actually, some instances, is a big benefit, because you can just kind of clear your brain. If you've developed any bad habits over there, you get to take the time to brush up technique on it. So I think you'll see them all at full strength and all raring to go. Like, I can't wait to see how Chase Young does in the game against Clemson. You know, it's all there for me to take as a consumer of football.
Yeah, well, and there shouldn't be any lack of offense. I mean, Ohio State's got a very good defense, but I expect scoring in all of these contests.
Yeah. Well, Shave, that being said, Nebraska is on hiatus again for another off season. Frost crew out on the road, pumping the streets, all those good things. JUCO guys, you know, other guys. I had a question that was interesting to me, and I wanted to get your take on it. What do you think Nash Huntmacher's instant contribution to Nebraska can be? Is he a day one guy you can plug in and play?
I don't think so, in part because the competition jump for him is going to be more severe than it will be for other guys, and he's not coming in early, so he's not necessarily going to be able to hit the ground running in the way that, you know, somebody like Garrett Nelson jumped from Class B to being able to contribute late in the year, because he had that spring and he had that opportunity to just start working. And Nash Huttmacher is going to go win another state title in wrestling and all of that. And that's great. And I'm glad that he's doing it, because frankly, between you and I kind of hate the idea of early enrollees in the first place.
That's fair.
But not because it's a bad thing, but I feel like it steals a little bit of some of the magic of being a senior in high school and getting to finish out things with your community and all of that stuff. But maybe I'm just wistful and nostalgic and not ready for the real world. That's happened to me before. But with Huttmacher, I think if you get somebody like Nebraska's recruiting Jordan Riley, and you have Jakeem Green and you have Damian Daniels, then you can be pretty slow in bringing Huttmacher along. I think the big thing is you just want to – Barrett Rood said this about Jackson Hanna, and sometimes with these freshmen, you just want to be able to kind of tear them down and then build them back up as you want. Like, they come in with maybe some bad habits and some bad form and some things that won't work in college. And, you know, sometimes you need to be able to just kind of reassess this giant hunk of clay that you have and then mold it into the type of player that you want him to be. And I think Tony Tuioti did that with Ty Robinson. And I think Nash Huttmacher is going to be on kind of the same sort of plane, if that makes sense, where he comes in and the first, you know, first while is basically just sort of relearning the stuff that you think you already know, and then putting them in a position that they can apply it and get better at it, and their confidence can grow, and then they can be successful.
Yeah, it will be that patience in it, I think, is going to be, and that those are all going to close up, I think, for Nebraska, you know, as they hopefully could start to be more successful on the field. That being able to have guys that are a little, and it probably won't be in the linemen. It'll probably be, you know, guys that are a little bit more on the skill side of things. But to be able to develop those linemen the way they do, it has to be a luxury Nebraska needs to afford itself. Like, you got to get your coffers built up where you bring in young, talented guys like this. Now you don't have to play them because you need them. You play them when they're ready to play. That is a huge difference in this whole setup of Nebraska ongoing.
Yeah, and the big thing to me, and what Nebraska is attempting to do right now, especially on the defensive line, because I think the offensive line, and we talked about this last week when you were on, I think they've really done a nice job reloading that.
Mm-hmm.
And, but with the defensive line, it feels like what they're going to do right now, because they sort of had their situation, you know, for Tony Tuioti when he got here. He basically kind of had the guys that he could work with. And then there is some intriguing people behind him, but probably not enough. And right now, it feels like they don't want any sort of drop-off, so they're grabbing a couple junior college guys to basically give them some depth in the rotation, and then try to just get some younger guys that they can develop over time and see how that works. The problem is, outside of Nash Hutmacher and Marquise Black, I don't know who the next high school guy on the defensive line would be in this class. They have R.J. Sorensen for 2021. They're working on a bunch of guys for 2021. But for 2020 specifically, I'll be curious if they get another high school defensive lineman, if there's somebody out there that they can pull in.
Yeah, and those rooms are full. Like, there's a lot of linemen offensive, and there's a lot of defensive linemen. And I think guys like, and I mentioned him a lot on here because I was impressed with what he did against Wisconsin, but you know, you put Ty Robinson in there, that guy's going to – he's going to pay some dividends. He's going to cause some problems. Just to wrap up our other discussion, December 28th at 4 Eastern and 8 Eastern are when those are. So we got till December 28th before the CFP goes.
Well, I can make it that long.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see what happens. Shafe, along this, well, I want to get into this because I thought it was funny, but how much money would you have paid to be on that hunting trip with Tuioti and Coach Verdue and Frost and Shenander with Nash Hutmacher? Because three of the dudes looked like they were having a blast. The other two were like, okay, you got me out here freezing in the field. What am I doing here, boys?
Yeah, I mean, if that's not your thing, I could definitely see where that would be like a long several hours. I've never done, and I'm not a big hunter. I haven't gone out in years. And when I did, I mean, we would just go to my grandparents' farm up in Neely or some areas in South Dakota. But I've never gone to, like, the situation it looked like they have is a little bit more of like sort of a reserve ground where it's kind of it's not real hunting because you're not. It's kind of stocked, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
So I've never done anything like that. And I think I'd be sort of interested to, because it feels like it's the quick way to do it. Like, you don't have to put in as much effort. There's probably people listening to this
lazy
and angry about how I'm describing it. But it seems a little bit easier than you just having to go out on a track of land and find these things yourselves, rather than knowing you're going to, you know, a little bit of a stocked farm situation.
Yeah, make it a little easier. There's no need to make this high effort. Let's just get out here where I can shoot and hit some stuff and call it a day. Shave, I'll get you out of here on this. Your Vikings, they won. George's a Packer fan. He's a little nervous back there. Oh, A-Rodge and crew. You got any more optimistic outlook for your Vikes for the rest of the year?
Well, they got, what, 3 games left, and it's the Chargers and the Packers and the Bears. If they can somehow get out of L.A. with a win, and your Bears do God's work by beating the Packers, then they have a chance to win the division, in a couple Mondays from now. So I would not mind seeing that at all, but the Vikings being the Vikings, you know I'm not confident.
I mean, you got to have some confidence. They're pretty freaking good.
It's just, it's hard to be confident in that team.
Sound like a Cubs baseball fan. Hey, how's this for a line? The Cubs spent, they asked Ricketts about the renovation of Wrigley. We probably missed our budget by around 100%. Like, we weren't even close. It cost 100% more than what we thought it was going to cost. Is that good?
There's probably a little bit of poor planning in there, but here's the thing. I think they have the money. I think they'll survive.
Yeah, that's what people are bitching about here on the internet, mad on the internet. I'm like, dudes, they just sold a business for $26 billion. Like, they're going to be good. They're yeah. Okay. They don't have
don't
much
worry,
care in the world.
They're going to cut the Cubs' payroll. They can't afford to have it too high.
Yeah, right.
Tickets will still be $100 to sit in the outfield, but
yeah.
You know.
Got to cut that down. You can still spend $8,000 to go have a beer underneath the stadium, but yeah, go ahead. Cut the payroll.
Yeah.
What are you going to do, Shafe?
Everybody but the fans.
Well, Shafe, time for another long offseason. Look forward to fulfilling a recruiting class. We'll definitely bring Nebraska back to the national championship next year, and everything will be fine.
Don't say those things.
Schaefer, always appreciate your time, bud. Thanks.
All right, Bruce. You have a good one.
See you, pal. Mike Schaefer, everybody. Good stuff there. Oh, talking to Schaefer. That FD says, have George taken a game of Mount Michael? The student section's feet are actually on the court, so it is so close. There's some small. If you really want to do this, and you go out even further west, like into rural, like you'll get into some gyms. Not all of them, just some of them in the small communities that have a little Hoosiers feel to them.
Oh, I love that. I absolutely love that.
Then there's some out there in the small town where you walk in and be like, man, they put some cash into this thing.
I'm actually going to look up the schedule here and try to plan out my Friday.
You should.
See where I'm going.
When Damon talks about it, everybody loves it. I don't know enough about it to be dangerous. I just go watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think the kids look like they're having an absolute blast. And when you get into a good, tight game in a high school setting, there's nothing better.
Is DB's kid in high school yet?
No,
Oh, okay.
He's still getting recruited.
Still getting.
He's still going on OVs.
I wanted to check out his, because I know how good he is, and everybody's told me that, like, he's the real deal. I don't know. I might make it to out one of those.
He won't say, but his kid's talented.
He's
a talented kid.
All right now.
All right, we'll be back here shortly with more Gary Sharp Show. Matt Verzal, George Norwood, 1620 The Zone AM.